Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of Flesh Wound Farce, where we review and discuss your and our favorite comedy films. This is the world's first and only combination trivia host and professional wrestling announcer of Chilean descent and currently resides in Southern California, Ozzy V. And with me as always, first in the Northern California Bay Area, world famous juggler Greg Larson. How you doing, Greg?
Man. New Animaniacs dropped, got my new Orko jersey to rep Mr. Kevin Smith, and I do have to make, so life's good, but I do have to say, for those of you watching the YouTube, one of these things is not like the other. One of these things, this isn't the same. Ozzy's got a jersey. I've got a jersey.
I do. Yeah.
I don't.
Man. How are you doing, Ozzy?
I haven't, but I'm not wearing it.
I'm great. You know what? I'm going to be completely honest. Yes. Now, we are reviewing Mallrats today, written and directed by Kevin Smith, famous for wearing hockey jerseys. But at the same time, it is a little bit cooler now. And this is, jersey is so perfect to wear when it's cold. It really is. It's pretty nifty. Thank you for this. I will say, for anybody not just listening to the audio version, this is a definite Greg jersey that he gifted me for my birthday, I believe. It was either birthday or
something
Christmas,
like that.
But it's the Skynet Terminators, which is freaking awesome. So appreciate that. We still need to spoof a parody of the Terminator series.
I actually have a great idea for a series similar, is that what happens is you've got these AI robots, right? And the reason why they turn against humanity is because they watch movies like The Terminator and they feel like what they're supposed to do is turn against humanity. So they really just plug into the system, and that's how they learn it, is because of our movies. No vendetta, no nothing. But
I see. I believe I didn't not have an official introduction for Todd just yet. Fleshroom producer Todd.
That's all I need. I know. I'm just here.
He's just chilling. So as mentioned earlier, we are reviewing and discussing the Kevin Smith written and directed film Mallrats, which was released on October 20th, 1995. Todd, I know you have the trailer up and ready to go. Hit the switch.
I've never met a person who lives in as much fear of his mother as you do.
You know what I should tell my mother what we do in here at night?
What, that you play video games and I fall asleep unfulfilled?
Oh, she calls you callow in here. You say that like it's bad. Well, it means frightened and weak-willed. That was the only part of the letter I thought was complimentary.
This is Brody's private hell.
Where the hell did that come from? What's going on here?
And these...
Brody man, noochie-noochies!
...are his friends.
Ow!
I'm sorry.
It's all right. What's a stink palm?
Take your hand, you stick it like this. There, now you shake hands with the guy. You know how long it takes for that smell to come off?
If you stare at these things long enough, you're supposed to see some kind of hidden three-dimensional picture.
Oh, yeah, look, it's a sailboat.
You saw it too, damn it!
We slept together one time, remember, in high school, that ski trip?
That was you?
Dude, this looks like your mom.
Bye-bye, Easter Bunny.
There is no Easter Bunny!
You know about this game show thing they got going on here? Well, we need you guys to somehow ensure that it doesn't happen.
Fly, badass, fly!
Good evening, and welcome to Truth or Date.
Second suitor, would you ever make whoopee in public?
No, I think that's kind of personal. I don't think I should answer that.
Mallrats.
You said it was a good size.
When a girl says it's a good size, it's a nice way of saying that it's small.
What else did you expect from the director of Clerks?
Hey!
So, I got a question.
I got comments on the trailer too. Go for it, Ozzy.
Okay. Well, why don't maybe you'll answer them? Go ahead. What are your comments?
That is the most obvious studio trailer for what it was, an indie darling director trying to make it like, ooh, look at Mallrats. It was just so 90s. What's Ozzy going to say?
The audios did that. Was it just me? It sounded like everybody had a little bit of helium in the video, in the trailer just now.
I didn't notice.
Really? Greg?
No, more than normal for some of those. They're in it.
I mean, well, yeah. I mean, Gwen, obviously, like, everybody sounded like Gwen. I don't know if that...
Right.
Just me? Because, like, right from the bat... I was like, what was I was watching this movie less than 18 hours ago and the audio was off, but maybe that's just me. If anybody watching the YouTube version would like to comment in agreement with me, I'd greatly appreciate that. So Todd can see that I'm not crazy. So anyhow,
hashtag Ozzy's wrong.
Dick. Anyway, initial thoughts on this movie. I had actually seen this. It was recommended to me in high school. And so I had just started working at Knott's. So, of course, like with the paycheck, you get the card. Once you get the card, like, oh, what's available to me? Oh, Columbia House. How many DVDs for a dollar? Wait, now I only have to buy how... So, like, the deal was, I think at the time, like, 12 DVDs for a dollar, as long as you bought 4 DVDs at a regular price over the next 2 years. That was the deal, right? I was like, well, I couldn't do that at, like, 16. What else am I going to spend my money on? So, Mallrats had actually come up, and I was like, oh, wow, I haven't seen this. And somebody told me, he's like, wait, you got to watch Clerks first, then you watch Mallrats. So then I purchased Clerks, and Mallrats came. So I'd almost seen this beforehand. Now, that was my first initial thoughts before I jump into the extra stuff. Greg, how about yours?
Well, first of all, we have to say, had you watched it in the other order, timeline, you would have been all right. Because Mallrats, I believe, is supposed to happen before Clerks. So, but I understand the reason for the other.
We'll get into that momentarily.
Yeah, perfect. But yeah, this same thing. I heard about this in high school from a buddy of mine, Andrew. Dude seriously looked like Jason Mewes, walked around, acted like Jason Mewes. I think I've brought it up on this podcast before that he painted a mural of Jay and Silent Bob on our high school campus and actually got it okayed. So yeah, he introduced me to this movie, and I did actually work at the mall at that time. I was doing night shifts at the Disney store. So it was... a lot more fun because of how many things are pretty accurate, but I've loved this movie for a long time, and it's still great.
Todd.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm there too. I mean, I saw this one theatrically. I mean, I was already a fan of Clerks from, I think I saw a screener for that, but either way. So I was anticipating it. It's not the same as Clerks, but I still love it. It's different. It is the studio version. You can feel that, but it's still a good time.
Well, before I get into when you talk about it, it's a studio version. Just to include this information that I forgot to mention, it does have a runtime of an hour and 34 minutes, and it is rated R. Also starring the voices you heard. I mean, to me, we're a little higher pitched, but... Also starring Shannon Doherty, Jeremy London, Jason Lee, and of course, Ben Affleck, Jason Mewes, Kevin Smith. Now, the version I saw was...
Joey Lauren Adams.
Okay, but I mean...
And Michael Rooker. Come on.
Yeah, true.
How many ands can I do?
We keep going.
I get it, but can we, like... Let's think about the runtime, like, of each character's on screen time. I said the ones that had the most on screen time. So
no, I said the one that was like key to the plot, you know, nothing important.
Ethan Suplee too. I mean,
yeah. Well, well, if we're gonna, yeah. Anyhow, so the version I saw was the included initially on the 10th anniversary DVD, which included 30 minutes of additional footage. When really, in the introduction, it was said by Scott Mosier and Kevin Smith that when Universal said, "Okay, we're going to find somebody to edit," they said, "Oh no, we've edited before, we can do it." And they said, "No, we're going to have one of our guys do it." So, to your point, Todd, that it, you know, feels very studio. But then, like Kevin Smith had said, we're referring to this cut as the cut that should have not been made, because right. as we're going through all the footage, we realized how terrible we were, like in terms of like how pacing was, and like they used all these scenes that were rejected in screenings as just not being good, and I completely understand why. So the key thing first off is the beginning is completely different, right? In the theatrical version, you hear the narration of Jason Lee with the joke as you see the scenes of the mall, right? But in the this extended version, my God, it's just like a scene that keeps dragging, because it starts out with you had Michael Rooker's character, Svenning, Mr. Yes. Svenning. I'll say, yeah. I can't remember his first name right now, but Mr. Svenning, just trying to impress these executives, whatever, and they're all at, or no, he's not the executives, he's trying to impress the mayor, right?
Yeah, it's the governor's ball.
It's the governor's ball at Monmouth University, which was actually part of a trivia question last week. That's how I know how to pronounce Monmouth. Anyway, you had Brandy Svenning on top of the roof, like looking at the constellation, whatever, and then in comes T.S., dressed as a revolutionary soldier. I don't remember if it was Paul. I didn't really care enough to remember. But basically, the main point is what?
No, I was just laughing at you. Didn't
okay,
care
so right he now. So he was basically, there was a drama, whatever, right? And he had a rifle, and as he was trying to, I don't know, joke around with Brandy, or no, Brandy, they got in a fight, and Brandy's trying to go away, and he tries to grab Brandy, but then her hair gets caught in the rifle, and everything takes place like within the course of, like, feels like 10-15 minutes. It felt like it took forever. And then there's shots fired to the governor, and then it's the whole plot revolves around, oh my God, he got me, you know, like wanted by the feds or whatever. It didn't mention anything about Julie Dwyer. That whole, okay, so in the theatrical version, it's TS driving to Brandy's house saying, okay, we got to go to Florida. And then we find out what happened with Julie Dwyer, TS saying, hey, you look like you've been gaining extra pounds, or that, you know, the camera say it adds a few pounds. So then she goes with the lapse and gets a brain aneurysm. Much funnier version, alternative than the other, because it just felt like it was ongoing. But go ahead, Todd.
No, I was going to say there's 100 differences in the cuts. And it runs the differences of actual footage is about 26 minutes. So it's a pretty big difference in the cuts.
It feels it. It messes with the pace, because not only is it deleted scenes, but it's also extended scenes.
And alternate takes. But it's funny because you can see a lot of the looping when you watch a theatrical cut, because there are still little traces, too, of things they bring up that happened in the deleted footage, too.
Right. Exactly. Yes. Specifically, anybody familiar with the theatrical enough to remember that towards the end, when we're looking at the character of Tricia and her, you know, talking about what her story ends up being, as she's writes this book, and next to her is the character LaFours, it makes a lot more sense in this extended version, because turns out LaFours becomes one of the people that she uses for her project, if you will. And it makes more sense why he's there with her at the end. Whereas in the theatrical, you could just see that scene, like, why is he there? Like, randomly, he's like, he just quit his job at the mall for whatever reason. So that's what actually ended up happening. But I would think he was more older than 30, because the study she said was supposed to be ages, I think it was like 15 to 30. That's what the...
No, did she? Because I know she also says she needed certain age ranges. So I don't know if she was going higher and she was just in that range. I remember, I don't remember exactly. I didn't memorize that bit. I should have.
I see. Regardless. Now, it was really very tough for me to view this as a first time thing, but I don't want to go for the, I never like saying, oh, my favorite moment happened so close to the beginning of the film. But when you have just Jason Lee waking up and then looking for the controller, turning on the TV, and then like continuing a game, that always cracks me up. Very first time I saw it, that was one of the funniest things I'd ever seen, just because I'd been at that moment before. Especially it was a Saturn too, so like I had a Saturn, is a Sega Saturn, so it's like I got it. I wasn't playing hockey, but like I got it, right? I understood any game, whatever, just pause it because whatever, right? So I gotta go with that as my favorite. And I do have one written down as a backup that I think might be Todd's, but it would be one as I had as a backup. Greg?
I'm actually going to defer to Todd because I have several. So, okay. I don't mind. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have to know which one it is. It's the plane story in the, yeah. Right. Is that the best way I can put it? The plane story?
Yes. We'll say the plane story just in case anybody that has not watched it. It's the, during the Truth or Date.
Yes.
Scene.
And your line kills it. That's what gets me every time. Is that the one you thought, Ozzy?
No.
Oh, well, no, I have another one written down, but we'll let Greg go. Then you can tell me which one you thought.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just going to shoot two out real quick because it was hard for me to choose between these two. One was Brody has a moment in the elevator, and if it was in the trailer there, and you know, he's all dancing and getting excited, and she says to him, "Too little, too late," and he goes, "I thought you said it was a good size." And I was like, "Oh, that's hilarious." But then, of course, one of the greatest lines said in a film is, "What you need is a fatty boom batty blunt." And I guarantee you, you'll see a sailboat, an ocean, and maybe even some of those big titty mermaids doing some of that lesbian shit. Look at me, you sloppy bitch. That, my friends, is gold.
Absolutely a solid number two when I'd seen that in high school. So, Todd, what I had written down, just because the whole concept of the whole scene and how things change when you wouldn't expect them to, really I got a kick out of, and that was the topless fortune teller.
That's on my thing too, because that's Priscilla Barnes.
Yeah,
I was already a fan of her, so yeah,
right.
And just the way Jason Lee does the whole scene,
but
that was a good pick.
The way the things turn though, and it's like, oh, you did? I hadn't noticed. Like, what are you talking about? If I could just speak specifically real quick to Jason Lee's portrayal as Brody, when he just randomly just starts yelling, like, who was that? What's going on around here? Like, just randomly starts yelling. I've been there.
So. I just love you do lean away from the microphone before you start yelling. Thank you.
Yeah. No, I'm well aware of the situation.
He's like, whoa.
But you mentioned you had another one. Was it that it? Or is he had another
yeah,
one
that was it. And then, well, and then I had that one. And then I also really like the stink palm gimmick, but that's like a classic.
Right.
It is. And that is where I think I specifically knew for a fact that something was wrong with, I shouldn't say something was wrong with the trailer, but where I felt something was off with the audio is because when anybody first sees that scene and how it, you know, it creates such a memorable like imprint, I guess, in my mind, that when I heard that, it was like, something's wrong with this scene. I've seen it so many times and right. Something's not right. And I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just audio, or maybe it's the digital ghosts changing some stuff up in my equipment to mess with me. I don't know.
Were you messing with them?
Not that I know of. Okay. I mean, usually, okay, listen. So whenever I stub my toe, like on the corner of my bed here, right? I never curse in English. It's always like something along the lines of "Concha su madre puto weón" or "Hijo de la chingada." And I don't know if the ghosts think I'm talking to them. Maybe.
It could be.
Maybe.
I'm just curious, Todd, do you only bleep out English cursing or...
Yes, I'm just going to say that
now. To be honest, since I have the Chilean dialect, there might be a lot of people are like, well, I speak Spanish. I don't know what he said. Because usually a lot of Chileans are lazy with their...
Just, you can leave the sentence there.
If you will. So going to the rating, if I had to rate the extended version with the alternate beginning and all this extra stuff, I probably would have given it a 2 because the pacing was so god awful. But I'm glad that that was not the case. We got a theatrical version here that was quick. Pacing was great. It was fun to go through. I got to give it a 4. Because there are some, because I didn't get like a lot of these moments that like I got a good laugh at, but I still enjoyed it. So it's a comedy. It's, you know, quick to the point. Yeah, we're good. So 4 from me.
I think that's a great score. Being a huge, huge Kevin Smith fan, I do have my own feelings towards this movie. It's not my favorite of the films. I still love it. So I think in honor of two characters especially, I have to give it a 4.20.
Appropriate. Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I really like this one, but it's not the best of the Viewers universe. And honestly, if we would have got that alternate cut, it may have been the end of it.
Yes.
100%.
Because he wouldn't have got that Miramax money. I'll just say it that way. I'm a 4. It's a good gateway Viewers universe film too. It's like how most people find the series, this and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, or seem like to be the ones that people discover.
Yes, indeed. So that's a 4 from me and Todd, 4.20 from Greg, which is fair to say. Now, well, that does conclude this episode. Any final thoughts on this one before we close out?
I just want to say I think it's funny that there's talks about how that could have been the end of the Viewaskew universe, but a movie called Yoga Hosers came out and it is still not the end of the Viewaskew universe. And if you've seen it, you know why it maybe could have been.
Todd?
Yeah. Yeah, I have nothing to add to that. He's not wrong.
All right. Yeah, now I will say, I think for me, it's personally fair to say that this would be like, in terms of the, I guess you could say big 5, would you include that Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Dogma, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back as like the major, you know?
Oh, yeah.
5.
Yeah.
Of the 5, this would probably be the weakest of. Chasing Amy, not so much a comedy. I'd never really, it more
makes me laugh.
More dramedy.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah. But still a good movie, and I would just put Mallrats at like a notch under Chasing Amy in terms of as a movie, I guess. But
yeah, Chasing Amy does have my favorite line in any of the Viewaskew universe. So I know we won't be covering that one, but maybe I'll bring it up when we do Dogma.
That's what I was going to suggest. But that won't be, that still won't be for a while. Next week, we'll actually be back with a new episode. We're going to be reviewing the Dan Aykroyd 80s film, Dr. Detroit, which I had never seen before. And man, that is going to be fun to talk about. I'm excited. So before we head out, Todd, Greg, anything else you want to say before we head out for the week?
Snoochie Boochies.
Good evening.
There you go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is Flesh Wound producer Todd, world famous juggler Greg, and I'm Ozzy V, and we'll see you next week right here on Flesh Wound Farce.